Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson Limited full year results announcement. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Stephen Guerin, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ashley. Morena, good morning and welcome to the PGG Wrightson's results briefing for the financial year to the 30th of June 2023. I'm Stephen Guerin, as has been introduced by the operator, Chief Executive Officer for PGG Wrightson's. It's my pleasure today to provide an overview of our results for the 2023 financial year. It's a beautiful day here in Christchurch with the snow-capped Southern Alps in the distance and some hints of spring with some tree in full blossom in the foreground. So that's the hope that spring's ahead of us. Today I have with me Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our General Manager of Corporate Affairs, who's also the Company Secretary. I'll be covering off the financial results for the period ending 30th of June, our trading performance, key themes, initiatives, and some thoughts on the year ahead. There'll be time for questions and answer at the end, as has been announced by the operator. The key measures of performance I refer to is operating EBITDA. I'll also refer to net profit after tax, also known as NPAT, being the formal GAAP measurement. Further details on this can be found in our financial statements. The year's results for the 30th of June 2023 include operating EBITDA of $61.2 million, which was down $6 million or 9% on the prior financial year. NPAT of $17.5 million, down $6.8 million or 28% on the prior financial year. Revenue of $975.7 million, which was $23 million or 2% up on the prior year. Fully imputed dividend of 10 cents per share, bringing a total of 22 cents per share for the full year. This is the second strongest trading performance for the business since its PGWC's divestment, which was bettered only by last year's record results. Turning to a bit more detail around the operating performance. This past year was set against a challenging backdrop. PGW delivered strong financial results for the financial year. These results were realised with margins broadly in line with the comparative period. The resilient performance of PGW in volatile market conditions is perhaps the most pleasing aspect of this result. Strong operating performances were generated in most business units, with livestock, wool and water all experiencing solid demand. Rural supplies and fruit fed supplies again experienced a standout performance. The exception was our real estate business, which continues to operate in difficult market conditions. Macro trading conditions for the year have been volatile, with increased input costs and inflationary pressures, falling commodity returns for our clients, and wet and cold spring delivering frosts, which affected the number of crops. Two cyclones through late summer also resulted in significant crop and rural infrastructure damage in the North Island. In the context of these market conditions, we are heartened by the performance of the business, in which the financial results reflect. We are proud of the way our team has responded to the demands experienced in their regions and the extraordinary efforts of many of the way they supported each other, our clients and our communities in need. Since the launch of our refreshed Max Rewards program in November 2022, membership growth has been steady with noticeable increases in applications following agricultural events. As well as a brand new look, our clients have an enhanced shopping experience, membership tiers, and access to wider benefits as part of the program. The Max Rewards program differentiates our client offering in the competitive agribusiness market. The business improvement program to simplify IT systems made good progress, with its first phase successfully implemented on schedule in July 2023. The main component of the program is expected to be completed in FY24, which is currently targeted for around February or March 2024. The benefits expected from the consolidation of systems and renewal of processes are greater efficiency, flexibility, better utilisation of our data, and our system security. During the financial year, PGW's property maintenance transitioned to a specialist facilities manager. Using a specialist facilities provider provides a provider to engage contractors to undertake property-related works, provides efficiencies and enhances our capability to deliver professional repairs and maintenance work with a greater degree of compliance assurance. I now talk specifically to the two business operating groups within PGW. That's the Retail and Water Group and then the Agency businesses. The Retail and Water businesses incorporates rural supplies, fruit feed supplies, water and agri-trade. Retail and Water's operating EBITDA was an impressive $54.1 million, up $1.6 million on the prior year, or 3%. Revenue was $785.3 million, was up $24 million, or 3%. The financial year has been another record year for the Retail and Water business. Increased sales were recorded in the animal health, fencing, general merchandise and horticultural categories. We transacted increased business volumes the same level of staff, which is something we are very proud of and a testament to the commitment of our team members. Our clients appreciate the superior technical ability of our people who are backed by our dedicated research and development team. We will continue to build this point of difference to ensure we maintain and increase our market share. Global supply chain disruptions following COVID-19 caused us to carry high levels of inventory to ensure we could provide our clients with the right products at the right time. Elevated inventory levels caused some challenges with strong storage and working capital management. As international shipping delays are easing, and there are more certainty regarding delivery timelines, we have adjusted inventory levels given that we do not need to carry the same quantities of buffer stock as was considered necessary in the prior year. Rural Supplies recorded its best performance ever, exceeding last year's record result with strong sales across a range of categories. We continued to grow market share and delivered an outstanding result in a shrinking market. To achieve growth on last year is an exceptional result given the climatic challenges and demonstrates the strength of our Rural Supplies business. Our people are passionate and motivated to go the extra mile for our hard-working clients. We are winning new business and seeking opportunities with key accounts in animal health, forestry and the ever-changing landscape of our traditional business. Excuse me. The wet spring contributed to additional AgChem sales in our fruit food supplies, winery and horticultural merchandise businesses. Our market share also increased in the vegetable sector, which is an important area we've targeted for growth. The damage caused by spring frosts and floods across many parts of the North Island and the impact from Cyclone Gabrielle and the Tarawhiti and Hawke's Bay regions will impact the fruit food supplies business over the next few seasons. However, the longer-term outlook for horticulture remains positive. Our fruit food supply strategic plan focuses on adapting to changes in the industry, capitalising on category growth, and how we proactively and strategically adapt to land use change. The water business strategic focus is to add value to clients' businesses by growing services delivery with the best technical advice. We're the market leader with the most technically skilled workforce as verified by our global supplier Valley and the only current Valley certified field technicians and certified Valley designers in New Zealand. Our sales and design crew are actively targeting irrigator upgrade options and inquiries for infill irrigation are increasing, specifically where clients see the benefit of fixed grid solutions. Agritrade, our wholesale business division, celebrated its 10th anniversary in September 2022 and showed good growth over this period. This financial year saw another lift in sales revenue with growth across horticultural imports and animal health products. Our range continues to expand as the suppliers look to us to supply product given our large logistics function and growing reach in merchants and vets across the country. Turning to our agency business, the agency group incorporates the livestock, wool and real estate businesses. Operating EBITDA was $16.1 million and was down $5.8 million or 26% in the prior year's strong result. Revenue was $188.8 million, which was broadly in line with the prior year's result, down just $0.6 million. Our livestock business achieved a solid performance in a difficult market. Whilst there were challenges through softer sheep pricing, significant wet weather events in the North Island and declining tallies in some stock lines, there was also positive outcomes for the year. The wet conditions contributed to greater pasture growth than normal, which created unseasonal trading during the summer and autumn seasons. Revenues received for cattle were robust, with higher prices received compared to the prior year. This was driven by healthy pricing achieved throughout the year, which was assisted by abundant feed and increased in export volumes. Sheep pricing was below expectations throughout much of the year, as demand was slow to recover in our key export markets. GoStock, our grazing program, which frees up capital in order that farmers can invest in other areas of business, achieved another record year, with the highest balances recorded in terms of values and tallies. GoBeef, including the new GoPrime beef offering, and GoStock Dairy performed well. During FY23, two significant milestones were reached, with over 350,000 cattle and 2.3 million lambs purchased through the GoStock since its launch during the 2016 financial year. The velvet business achieved a strong performance, achieving its best results ever. This was achieved through increased volumes traded in South Korea with South Korean health food customers. China's extended shutdown caused lower sales with reduced prices on the prior year. With all velvet stock sold and exported, it remains a profitable income stream for deer clients and continues to grow in both production and quality. Our genetics business achieved some outstanding results with its bull sales. The team has investigated the value add of beef over dairy strategy, which will benefit dairy farmers seeking genetics that shorten gestation, maximise ease of birth, and increase profitability of cattle. Overall, our wool business had a solid year, with total bales procured at the store in line with last year. Wool growers continue to be negatively impacted by crossbred wool prices. PGW wool had another steady fine wool season, growing market share supported by higher value long-term marina contracts with growers. The real estate market has experienced one of the toughest years in some time, with higher interest rates, stricter regulatory requirements, some softening commodity prices and uncertainty regarding the outcome of the general election in October 23, all contributing to negative sentiment in the rural property market. This was reflected in operating results for the real estate business, with decline in market activity leading to significantly fewer sales being made in the prior financial year. On a positive side, we have maintained our market share and increased this in some regions. Our people are key to making this business a success. As at June 2023, PGW had 1,572 permanent and temporary, including fixed-term employees, and 323 casual and commission agents, giving us a total of 1,895 people on our team. Our people are the heart of the business, and their efforts continue to ensure PGW is not only a great place to work, but also develops great people who have a place within the heart of our clients and the local communities in which we operate. Investing in our people is a strategic imperative for PGW as we support and develop our team members to be able to deliver on our strategy. Three key pillars of leadership and expertise, safe and certain, and recognition provide the anchors of our people and safety strategy. We have revitalised our learning and development and technical training programs and have made improvements in our safety resources and systems. In the past year, we concentrated on leadership development, health, safety and wellbeing culture, leadership and fundamentals, sales training, team culture and a wide range of e-learning courses. Turning specifically to safety and wellbeing at PGW, we continue to take a disciplined approach to controlling our critical risks and our revised health and safety and wellbeing roadmap. Our resourcing model has made significant progress this past year by engaging and learning from those who are close to the identified critical risks. It's also encouraging to see an increase in our people going above and beyond their contributions to health and safety and wellbeing, which has been demonstrated through receiving excellent examples of innovative solutions and initiatives from across the business, which includes nominating colleagues for our bi-monthly Executive Safety Leadership Recognition Award. Turning to environment and sustainability, PGW is guided by the environment and sustainability embedded within PGW's group strategy. PGW was pleased to release our sustainability strategy to 2030 in the past year. The strategy establishes PGW's position on a range of key environmental, social and governance issues, as well as targets around greenhouse gas emissions, fleet management, energy efficiency and other social and governance metrics. PGW has committed to reduce its operational Scope 1 and 2 greenhouse gas emissions by 30% by FY30 from its FY21 baseline. As part of this commitment, PGW has undertaken a comprehensive process to calculate its current and historic emissions profile, including seeking external assurance on these numbers. PGW has identified its largest sources of emissions and put in place a series of strategic actions to address these over time. PGW is also committed to transparency through public reporting and has aligned our annual report to the Global Reporting Initiatives, known as GRI standards. The GRI standards assist organisations to understand and communicate their impacts on a range of issues such as climate change, human rights and corruption, to name a few of the requirements under the standards. There have been a number of governance changes over the past year. Li Juhai stepped down as Chair as a member of the Audit Committee on the 4th of July 2023. Yu Kin Sing was appointed Acting Chair as a member of the Audit Committee, while an independent director, Sarah Brown, was assumed the role of Deputy Chair. Mr. Li has announced he will retire from the Board from October 23, annual shareholder meeting, having served as Director since 31 October 2017. The Board acknowledges and thanks Mr. Li for his contribution over his tenure. At the annual shareholder meeting on 18th of October 2022, Meng Foon and Gary Moore joined the Board as independent directors. Mr. Moore is also a member of the Audit Committee. Cash flow and debt. PGW recorded operating cash flows during the year of $25.5 million, which was up $1.8 million higher than the prior year, impacted by higher income tax payments on last year's exceptional result, together with higher funding costs. PGW invested in working capital during the year, including implementation of a strategy to grow our gross stock receivables book to $74 million as at 30 June 2023, an increase of $7.9 million or 12% from 30 June 2022. Capital expenditure of $70.1 million was $8.4 million higher than 30 June 2022. This increase was driven by significant investment in our IT systems business improvement program, which includes both operating expenditure and capital expenditure components, as due to go live in the FY24 financial year. Our net interest-bearing debt was $65.3 million as at 30 June 2023, an increase of $32.5 million from the prior comparative period. Shareholder distributions. The Board have declared a fully imputed final dividend of 10 cents per share. The dividend will be paid on the 3rd of October 2023 to shareholders on PGW share register at 5 p.m. on the 15th of September 2023. This will effectively bring the total of fully imputed dividends for the year to 22 cents per share. Turning to the outlook, there's a significant degree of volatility in the global economy and international markets currently. Zeld, like many other key trading partner nations, are committed to taming inflation, with central banks lifting interest rates. The effect of this monetary policy is being felt, with inflation levels beginning to trend lower, but with elevated interest rates raising borrowing costs. Growth in emerging economies is forecast to increase faster than developed countries. The longer-term outlook is positive, with the government projecting steady growth in New Zealand's primary exports and revenue projected to reach $62 billion by 2027, which is up from $56.2 billion in the year to 30 June 2023. As a market leader in the agri sector, PGW is a strong position to assist our clients grow their businesses to respond to this export demand. Our country's farmers and growers are renowned for their resourcefulness and pioneering spirit, continues with creating new solutions to adapt to climate change and become more efficient. Regardless of the regulatory framework that is ultimately adopted, the primary sector will adapt and continue to enhance its social license to operate. It's too soon to forecast performance for the year ahead, but we hope to be in a better place to provide guidance to the FY24 following the start of the important spring trading period at our annual shareholders meeting in October 2023. In the meantime, we note the following positive things. GW continues to pick up market share, and we're seeing this in key categories and new client inquiry and business. May's orders in the coming spring are strong and tracking ahead of the same time last year. Our viticultural centres had a good harvest, and New Zealand wines are in demand internationally. With new plantings planned, and our fruit feed supplies business is well placed to support our growers. We are well positioned operationally as we move into the current financial year. We're seeing continued volatility and softened commodity prices from our clients, and even more challenging macro market conditions out over the short to medium term they experienced in recent years. Our positive trading results in the markets we have seen over the past year are testament to the incredible dedication and resilience of our PGW team. Through our One PGW philosophy, a nationwide team pulled together to serve our clients, communities and each other in some incredibly trying circumstances. It was especially gratifying to witness the tremendous integrity and ingenuity demonstrated by our colleagues to support those impacted by the cyclone. We could not have delivered the outcome without the loyal support of our clients and suppliers. It was what was another busy year for business. PGW's 23 annual report will be available on the Stock Exchange website under the PGW ticker and our website at the end of September. This concludes our financial results presentation and our open the call for questions. Thank you very much, and Ashley, I'll turn the call back to you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Christian Bell with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Stephen and team. Thank you for the presentation this morning. So my first question is, despite some early forward indicators that you've kind of pointed out, it does feel like you're managing expectations down, which is understandable in the current environment. So just trying to understand how, given, you know, farmer sentiment is very low and it has been for a prolonged period of time now, I guess, just trying to understand how bad things could be. How bad would things have to be for EBITDA in FY24 to have a 4 in front of it?
That's pretty bad.
Chris.
Okay.
That would be seriously. That's not within our thinking currently, Christian.
Okay. Yeah. So the scenario that you're kind of, budgeting for or setting, managing expectations for is better than that type of scenario.
Correct.
Okay. I know that's useful. And so, I guess just to dig into that a little bit more, the last time farming sentiment was so low, I think it was during the GFC, acknowledging that the retail and water business would have changed a lot since then, are you able to sort of give a like-for-like comparison between the retail and water business in 2009 versus what it is in 2020, what it will be in 2024? What's changed since then?
Couple of things, Christian, because I was actually leading the water business. I took over leading the water business in 2010 for a period before becoming CEO. And became CEO in 2020. I was reading the water business at that point in time. There was a bit of lack of clarity of strategy. An alignment through the business. We didn't have such a focus around our R&D capability and technical support for our people. The size and footprint of the fruit feed supplies business was different. There's been significant land use change in terms of the area, planted areas in the viticultural space, and the pit fruit areas. We've targeted the market, the vegetable market, and our market share as a result has improved significantly. We've also grown our agri-trade footprint in terms of our product availability and range within the business. And, you know, that's also assisted the business to grow accordingly. As I say, that's resulted in a clear strategy, execution through the business, support of our people, and some of those operational things that we've talked about. We've done some more subtle things around improving our footprint as well in terms of our look and feel of our stores. But at the end of the day, clients more often than not make decisions to do business with you about the capability and credibility of your people.
Right. thank you. That's awesome. And I guess the follow-on question would be, I guess I'm sort of gearing this towards the retail and water still. What proportion of that business would be more consumable type items and hence would be more defensive, like given, the items that farmers can't do without during the year? So like what kind of percentage would be, I guess, more defensive than as opposed to more discretionary?
Yeah, I get the question. We probably don't use the word consumer, but I understand why you might use it, Christian. We talk about the core agricultural inputs that are required. For example, if you think about crop or permanent crop and planted crops, so maize crops or viticultural crops, etc. They have a requirement every year for inputs of ag chem, fertilizer, seed. If you're growing maize crops, for example, so they are reasonably well predicted because there are physically planted areas. There are certain number of animals you need feed. It's the nature of New Zealand. So we have a good proportion. It's weighted towards a good, higher proportion of demand that is required year in, year out. Having said that, there is discretionary spend each year. And you see that particularly in the categories such as fertiliser. To some degree, you see it in the fencing area and those sorts of things. Obviously, the Hawke's Bay and Tairāwhiti, they have some replacements because of damaged infrastructure. But if you are in a tight economic environment, you will reduce your spending on things like fencing, for example. You may reduce some of your capital fertiliser spend as well. And the third factor, of course, is the nature of the season, the weather, the climatic conditions. So the season ahead, if you believe the NEWA forecasters, we're moving, we're changing weather pattern from what we've experienced last year, although we get to see that play out. So summary, there is a degree of certainty around the spend because those are crops that our customers need to protect their crops, their permanent crops, and they need to plant feed crops for animals for the winter for experience about this time next year.
So what percentage would you put on the discretionary type items? Like, is it 20% of your sales, or?
Oh, I'd have to go, and I don't have that number at my fingertips, Christian. But it would be kind of in that magnitude, yeah.
Sort of 80-20 type of.
15-20%, I think. I base that, Christian, based off my, I was. Of my career at PGW, I was 25 years in the retail business, so that's based on gut feel rather than some science. But I do have a lot of experience in that space.
Yeah, I mean, it's all I'm kind of looking for, just a rough kind of guide. It'll be in that
15 to 20% category, Christian.
And then within the sort of more core inputs, like, is there any wiggle room for farmers to pull back on that? Obviously, it's tough times at the moment, so just trying to understand that a little bit.
They do have some wiggle room, depending on the season as it plays out. So a wetter season will see a higher spend. A drier season will see some different types of spend. And then they have some choices in terms of the price bands in which they purchase at. Without getting into product names, you know, the glyphosate market, there are premium branded products that are at a higher price, and there are the more there are other brands that are available at a cheaper price, so clients can make those sorts of choices, but they still need a glyphosate.
Okay, so that's awesome. Thank you for that, for the context. And then on the agency side, obviously real estate was the kind of key detractor this year. And the total EBITDA was $16 million. Are you able to say how much of that was real estate, just to give us an idea of like kind of what this year is, given that next year is kind of looking like it's going to be pretty depressed as well?
On the real estate. It's around $5 million.
I'd say it's a lot of the actual variance, to be honest, Christian, between last year's operating EBITDA result for agency and this year's. The majority is real estate.
It does get a wee bit. One difference we point out, Christian, is the operating costs for our IT program of work, which is in the FY23 result, not in FY22. Because, as you know, with IT programs of work, there's this now split between OPEX and CAPEX, and the real estate business does pick up a wee bit of that cost as well. So.
And so, what is the total OPEX spend for the IT project that's going through the P&L? What was it in FY23?
It was roughly $3 million. In the previous year, it was only about $700,000, for example.
Okay. And then in FY24, you were sort of saying that the project completion is about March or so. Would the spend in FY24 be about $2.5 million or so?
The spend actually, because it'll take, that's when it would be implemented towards the end of February, beginning of March, Christian. But the spend will go longer than that in terms of settling down on implementation. We've talked to others who have implemented it, D365 that is, and it does take several months for you to get back to actually where you were in terms of, getting your month end close to be where it was. So it will go more or less the whole year from an expense point of view.
Okay. And so it's like probably another $3 million in FY24 then?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Backwards, Rusty. In a year, given that FY24 is obviously going to be tough from a farmer on farm spending perspective, what's the typically in the following if it's down in FY24, in FY25, do you typically expect a bounce back as I guess farmers sort of play catch up, assuming that conditions have sort of normalised a little bit by then?
Two things, Christian, there. That may depend on the outcome of the election the regulatory environment and so forth. So, that's clearly a factor within government thinking. The second point is if you look at those macro trends that inflation will start to ease off through the 24 calendar period. We'll see some softening of interest rates, and the demand from a global food perspective is set to move up, as we talked about in our announcement. You would expect to see some more positivity return. But there are some caveats on that, Christian. You know, there are the, you know, the change of government point. There are the, you know, the regulatory, not the regulatory, but the central banks getting on top of inflation and so forth. So those are things that are outside the control of PGW. We would say that we are buoyed by the global outlook for agriculture. We see that in the medium term, so, you know, years two or three away, starting years two or three away, so, you know, your timeline's probably, you know, is within our thinking. And they tend to start spend quite quickly, as we've seen in the past. So 1 year to the next can be quite significantly different in agriculture.
Okay, I guess another way of asking the question, for that sort of 15-20% more discretionary type spend, how long can you actually stretch those items? Like, can you leave them for 2 to 3 years before having to replace? Like, what's the replacement cycle on those type of things, like fencing and things like that?
It does depend on the weather patterns, Christian, but 3 years would be a long time. 2 years, you know, you could survive.
Okay, sweet. It's useful. And then, the last question I had, just around the dividend, 22 cents for the full year. You're just wondering if FY24 is a difficult earnings year, would you be looking to, given your balance sheet is still pretty strong, would you be looking to support a flat dividend? Like, do you envisage the dividend going down, or would you be more likely to support a flat to, you know, some growth type of dividend profile?
The dividend question is one for the board to answer, Christian. So I will leave that to my masters, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yep.
It's natural to assume if there's a result that is lower than this year, there'll be factors that the board take into account when they're setting the dividend.
Yeah, no worries. Cool. That was all from me. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Christian, it's Peter here. Hey, just going back to your question about the business improvement program that we've got running for this year. This was about $3 million in FY23, but FY24... because we've got more implementation in FY24 rather than, you know, actually writing or developing code, you would expect that we'd actually have a higher OPEX component in FY24. So the $3 million might be, you know, might be a couple million more than FY23, just to clarify that.
Okay, so $5 million?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But of course, those costs don't get repeated in the...
No, that's right. They don't. That's
subsequent year that they get repeated, Christian.
Yeah. One off in 24, normalising sort of 25 on this. Yeah.
That's right.
And is it about an even split between CapEx and OPEX?
No, it's more actual CapEx, Christian. But you know, with the changes in software as a service that was introduced a couple of years ago. Traditionally, we would have actually probably capitalised just about the whole lot of these, you know, more or less the whole lot of the costs. But now, of course, anything that's out of the box, if you like, you're expensing. You know, the intangibles this year was 10.7, so that's roughly, most of that's actually our program. So, and you know, and you talk about sort of $3 million worth of. So we're sort of the CapEx component is you know a lot bigger than the OpEx component, but as I said in previous years, you would have had most of it being, if not you know, 90-95% would have been CapEx. Now the split's much more still weighted towards CapEx, but it's much lower in terms of in comparison to previous years.
Yeah, no, understood. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We'll pause momentarily to allow questions to be registered. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Stephen Guerin for closing remarks.
Thank you, Ashley. So thank you all for your time today and listening to the presentation that we've given. As we've indicated, it's a result that we are pleased with in the environment of which we're seeing in agriculture in New Zealand and the conditions we experienced in the past year. And acknowledging again the efforts of our people, they are the heart of PGW, they are the success of the organisation, they are our connection to our clients and communities, so they need to be acknowledged. So thank you all and look forward to talking to you again early in calendar year 24 with the half year results. Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.